We are on page Kuf Lamed Hay on the top, which would be, if you're figuring in number-wise, that would be 269 in the top numbers. We are doing, it doesn't say it in the Hebrew, we're at Oheve Achivereya, but in the English, it calls this 22b. Okay, and there is actually a note that, where does it say? That's note number 51. Mm-hmm. Where's 51? That says 48, 49, 51. The following is obviously not a continuation of the preceding. Okay. So that then lends itself to the question, if this is not part of the original letter, which forms chapter 22, well, why is it here? Why is it 22b? The Mittler Rebbe didn't feel to call it 22b. He put it, in big letters, but if you turn the page back, so you'll see it says Kamo Avarachaman, and that's still part of the same letter. Mm-hmm. It's just considered a new paragraph. So if you're just reading it without looking at the English, you'd think, oh, this is just a new paragraph as well, because it's called Ageres HaKodesh Simchav Beis. But it is not the same letter.
Yeah.
It deals with the same thought, and being that it's so short, from here to the end of the paragraph, to the end of the letter is very short. It deals with a similar subject, and therefore the Mittler Rebbe felt that it would be proper to just put it as a tag on 22. So it starts out in the same type of a way. I have a achivareya. Okay. The difference is the first letter. He starts. He says, because my brethren, my friends, my beloved, because of the great love that I have for you. So in this letter, he starts. He says, I'm writing this to you because of the tremendous pain that I have because of dealing with you. It's the same deal of dealing with people and their problems. In the previous letter, the emphasis is on in how to handle one's physical problems. Problems of parnassa, for children, health, etc., these type of a thing. This letter, the answers that he's giving seem having to do more with a person's Avodas Hashem. Which Avodas Hashem is what a Rebbe's all about. A Rebbe wouldn't be a Rebbe if he said, listen, don't write to me about your problems in spirituality. Okay, understood, he wanted to make a claim, and the Rebbe made a claim also, don't write to me about your medical problems, I'm not a doctor. Go ask a doctor. That makes sense. Okay, but it kind of sort of does just on face value, but knowing all of the medical advice that the Rebbe gave people, it would make no sense not to ask the Rebbe. I just heard a story this week. A guy lives in Huntsville, which is like northern Alabama.
Alabama, yeah.
Okay, and he's got a kid with an ear problem. Okay, so he goes to the University of Alabama Hospital, and they're having problems over there, so he came across a Lubavitcher, and Lubavitcher told him to write the Rebbe, and the Rebbe told him that at Vanderbilt there's an expert. So he says, wait a minute, I live actually closer to Vanderbilt than I do to University of Alabama. So he says, how come the people at University of Alabama didn't tell me about this doctor in Vanderbilt? You know, the Rebbe had to tell me about the doctor in Vanderbilt. You know, and they live happily ever after, where the story goes, of course. So, it seemed to always been a problem, all the way going back to Shmuel and Navi with Shaul and his donkeys. You know, asking, where do you know where my father's donkeys are? So, I guess it would fall under the exegesis of with power comes responsibility. If you know to help somebody, then you have an obligation to help somebody. So, rabbis, if they're really rabbis, have an obligation to help people. So, but he's writing over here, listen, take it easy on me. It's sort of like there's a general rule that you have to eat as much cholent as on your plate. Somebody serves you cholent. You're not allowed to leave any over. Okay, because the reason why we eat cholent is to indicate that we believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, because you have the tzedukim that said you can't have a fire burning in your house, and therefore they ate cold food. So the rabbi said, no, you specifically have to have hot food in Shabbos afternoon. And they gave a bracha that anybody who eats hot food on Shabbos afternoon is Shabbos during the day is given the blessing as though they had fulfilled the entire Torah Shebaal Peh. So if that be the case, so the statement is how could you leave a blessing sitting on the plate? So there is a story that the Friedrich Rebbe traveled around. He was the only Rebbe who really traveled extensively. I mean, he was all over the world. He was on three continents with all of his travels. Well, if you count the fact that he stopped off in Egypt for a day or so, you know, it's technically Africa. Okay, so but he's traveling around, and wherever he was, I don't know where he was when he was traveling. So he was in someone's house for Shabbos, and they served him cholent, and he ate all the cholent that he was given. So he came a second time, and they said the Rebbe likes cholent. So they gave him a bowl of cholent.
Oh boy.
Okay, because normally what is it that the Friedrich Rebbe would do with the normal thing to do in eating, in the genteel way of eating? You're supposed to leave stuff on the plate. Generally, Rebbes are not into eating food. Right. They kind of pick a little bit. So, but given the cholent, he ate the cholent. Oh, the Rebbe ate cholent. Good. We're going to give him a bowl of cholent. So he ate the whole thing. Mm-hmm. When he came a third time, he said, I have to eat it, but you don't have to be mahadir in giving it. In other words, don't give me so much. Okay? So it's the same deal with every Rebbe, with every other thing that they have. It says they have to do what they have to do, but don't pick on him so much.
Don't ask so much.
Yeah. And there are stories of the Rebbe just said, please don't pick on me so much. Don't ask me for that, please. I don't want to have to do that. Okay, so Hakif Al Yachas Vesiva Kamayim Kol Hayyim Kol Halayla Tami Lo Yechashu. He says that these preoccupations are encircling me like water all day and all night, never giving me peace. Okay, he says, I got enough to do already. But you know what? I can't, there's not enough paper for me to write down all the things I'm thinking. And he says, what I'm going to have to do is just briefly, I'm going to have to repeat myself. Which, with something's already in print, which is, this is, I'm assuming it's a follow-up to the previous letter, he's saying, I already wrote you already. And had you been smart, you would have gotten it the first time. But since you didn't chop it the first time, I'm going to repeat myself just for you. Okay, this is a general letter. It's not related.
I'm keeping in mind he wrote my beloved, my brother, and my friends first.
Yes. Oh yeah. I mean, I didn't go into that this time because I went into it twice before. Yeah.
Some didn't. They kept asking.
Yeah.
They didn't take it seriously.
Yeah, no, of course. The Rebbe's supposed to get, you know. So I mean, we see what happened with the Rebbe when he said people don't ask. These people stopped writing. And he said, why aren't people writing?
They said don't ask.
And they said because you said don't ask. And he said no. Tell them to write. You know. But that wasn't without the Rebbe. So the Rebbe said, oh, listen, I've already told you guys already. And had you chopped it, you would have seen that I really was serious to begin with. Generally, I'm going to go over it. Specifically, Alan is Nagin Va'am La'amad Al-Aveda Zutfila B'kol Ra. So it's the first thing you really need to do. He's not talking about here physical problems. He's just talking about, you know, I could imagine that if he got the same letter from different people asking the same question over and over and over and over, that he would say, why do I have to keep answering these people? I've already answered this question. And specifically, since one of the reasons why the Tanya was written, the first 53 chapters, and Shar Yichud Ve'amona, and later Ageres HaKodesh, Ageres HaTshuva, was to ease the burden of people asking, because if you have a problem, most likely it's been discussed before, and your answer will appear in Tanya. And in fact, the general rule is that if you have a question, go take a Tanya and open it up, and there you'll find your answer. Because that's what the Alter Rebbe wrote it for, that it to be a book of answers to your problems. Okay, so here, though, he's not talking about physical problems. He says the first thing is like, if a person's having spiritual problems, that the Mittler Rebbe, no, the Friedrich Rebbe, explains that the beginning of a person's descent when it comes to spiritual achievement, meaning going the wrong way, is that they're not showing alacrity in davening. They're showing an insensitivity in davening. They're showing a complacency in davening. It says even clearly in Pirkei Avos, Al lasis tefilas sakva. Don't make your davening rote. Okay, because by doing so, what happens then is it's the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And after a while, what happens, I know I see for myself personally, when I was bar mitzvah, so I have an uncle who came to me before my bar mitzvah, and he said, I have your Zetas tefillin. And if you agree to put them on every day, I will give you your Zetas tefillin. And I just went, wow. And he said, no, don't answer me until tomorrow. Think about what it means that you're going to have to do. Okay? So I came back the next day and said, I'm going to do it. Okay? And I put on tefillin for the whole time I was 13. Okay? It got to the point, I was bar mitzvah in August, and by April, it got to the point where I was timing myself to see if I could do it faster than yesterday. Putting on the tefillin. Yeah, I joked that what I would do is I'd throw the tefillin up in the air and I would loop my arm through the loop.
Say the bracha right.
Say the bracha as I'm laying, loop it up, and then kind of like twist my arm around real quick and have the straps go flying around by itself. Throw the shel rosh up, kind of like get my head up in there and line it up. Say the shema, take it off. And I could do it in less than 3 minutes. I mean, I was looking to get 3 minutes was like my mark. Get it on, say the Shema, take it off. Okay? By the following August, I was thinking to myself already, why am I doing this? I'm doing them to take them off. So there's no point in me taking them, putting them on. Okay? Mm-hmm. This was the rationale of a 14-year-old. And because I wasn't putting anything into the davening. Okay, and when I became frum, the last thing that I did that I finally said, okay, now I know I'm frum, was to put on tefillin. I was keeping Shabbos, I was eating kosher, I had tzitzis, I wore a yarmulke, I wasn't putting on tefillin. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I knew what tefillin was and I wasn't there yet. So when I said, okay, I got it, I have to start putting on tefillin now. Okay, so. And a sentimental value, my grandfather's tefillin were, they were baseline kosher.
My grandfather gave me his.
They were without any hidurim whatsoever. It was like, well, if you haven't got a better pair, I guess we can call these kosher. That's basically what it was doing with those. Okay. So he says, the expression he uses is La Amad Alavidzu Tfilu Bekel Rama Lachazak Ma'oi Vachol Oizis Aatsumas Nagid Kalmanea Mabayas Vachutz Biyad Chazaka. It's a long sentence. It says, the first thing is you have to daven with a loud voice. When he means that, it doesn't mean that you should scream your davening. It says this in other books. about davening. Mm-hmm. That's why if you go, for example, to the Stoloners, they scream davening. Okay? Mincha, I davened Mincha once. They come to Detroit every year on Hei'iyar, one of those things.
Yeah.
Hei'iyar, Vaviv, or
between
something.
Between Pesach and...
Yeah. So they come and they do a thing and the Rebbe has a tish, and I went one time, I was writing an article on Chassidus in honor of the 300th birthday of the Baal Shem Tov. That was 1998. And the editor insisted that he did not want it to be an article about Lubavitch. He wanted it to be an article about Chassidus, and I should go investigate other Hasidic groups as well. Okay? He paid me enough that I said, okay, fine. So it just so happened that the Stoloner were coming to town when I was writing it. And so I participated in a mincha. The mincha was thunderous. Is what they were. That was just a mincha. Okay, and for Kaddish, these guys were jumping all over the place. It looked like I was watching popcorn popping. These guys with the Kaddish over here.
They start on time?
What?
Crazy.
Yeah, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
Because they did a thing, they go to the cemetery and they daven mincha, and then the rabbi has a province of yechidus, whatever they call it, and then he gets on the plane and he goes home. So anyway, but that's not what the Alter Rebbe means over here. The Alter Rebbe means when he says b'kol ram, it means to pay attention. It should be a cognitive loud voice because you have a voice in your head also. Okay.
You can't.
How many different things can you think of simultaneously while you're davening? You know. Yeah.
One thing and what I should be davening.
Yeah, okay. So usually what happens is you start thinking about something and the words are going because it's automatic and you're not thinking about it anymore.
Yeah.
That's called a weakness in davening.
Yeah.
So he says to prevent a person's failing and falling in spirituality, the first thing that a person needs to do is pay attention during davening. And if a person can focus on that, it's sort of like you know, in matters of degrees, okay, if there's a certain path that you have to take and you veer off of that path 1 degree, so when you first veer off, you're not very far off, but if you're going to go 10,000 miles, you're going to be very far away, okay, from where your path is supposed to be. So that's the idea, is stay on the path that you're supposed to stay on. And so he's giving now safeguards which will help that a person should stay on that path. Okay? And it all starts with davening. The Friedrich Rebbe talks about chulei haguf and chulei hanefesh, the sicknesses of the body, the sicknesses of the soul. Okay? And he says, what's the first thing that falls off? A person gets a little bit of a sniffles, a cold. Okay, something, they didn't get enough sleep. What's the first thing that they forget about? Is they forget about going to shul. I'll daven at home. I don't feel good. It has to take time. I have to get to shul. I have to get back. There's all the things I have to answer. I can daven quicker over here. I'll take care of my health. And so that's where the Friedrich Rebbe says, that's your first mistake. It says it would be healthier for you physically if you picked yourself up and put yourself into shul and davened. Okay, because it says takfa de neshamta, takfa de gufa. The strength of the soul is the strength of the body. Meaning to say that sometimes a person might think that they have this physical weakness. So it's not that the physical weakness is causing a weakness in the neshama. It's the weakness in the neshama that's causing the weakness of the body. So if a person's going to treat the symptom... So not always is it symptomatic treatment is what needs to be done. Sometimes it has to be holistic. It has to be the person has to get if a person has an infection, and the infection is some kind of discharge, and a person says, you know what, I'm going to put a Band-Aid on it. That way we'll take care of the discharge. This is, it's not going to help because the infection's still going to be there. If the guy needs an antibiotic, so that will take care of the infection so that he doesn't need to have the Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's which is it that's causing what? So the Friedrich Rebbe says, Chulei HaNefesh, Chulei HaGuf. The person doesn't feel like going in davening. So what doesn't he do? He doesn't go to shul to daven. So he says, okay, so what happens now? That perpetuates now, so I don't daven in shul. Which will then lead into another weakness. Because there are certain things, for example, it says like one of the important things of davening in shul is to answer the amens specifically. Mm-hmm. Okay? The amens, baruch hu, baruch, you know, baruch shema, kedusha, chazar ha-shas, kriya seteira. It says the kaddishes. Are very important. More it is, the mourner standing there, he's thinking about his loved one who passed away, and he's saying the Kaddish, and everybody's saying Amen. The Amen is doing more for the sayer of the Amen than it is for the guy saying the Kaddish. Amen, what spiritually speaking, the Amen means Lashon Amuna, which means asserting that it's true, or it's an abbreviation for Kael Melech Neman, a trusty and faithful king. It says every amen is like a vitamin pill for the neshama. If a person doesn't have proper vitamins, so they develop deficiencies. So this person's going to have an amen deficiency. So what happens when people get deficiencies? We know with various different vitamin deficiencies, people could die from lack of from specific vitamins. Okay, so like this, if a person is missing amens, so it's going to have a weakening effect on the body. That's why he says the first thing is daven with a loud voice. Pay attention. Strengthen yourself with all of your power and might in opposition to any, opposing any opposition, external or internal or external, with a strong hand. Okay, because now that we have the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov informed us that davening is not just a passage from getting up in the morning to go eat, learn, or work, which is what people were thinking about before the Baal Shem Tov came along, because it says in Shulchan Aruch, before you can eat, before you can work, before you can learn, you have to daven. So good, I got up now, I want to learn, I have to daven first. I got up now, I want to work, okay, I have to daven first. I want to eat, I'm very hungry, no, I got to eat first. Okay, that's what people were looking at davening. It was a conduit from bed to where they really wanted to be. Comes along the Baal Shem Tov and says, no, davening is an exercise, the greatest tool we have for self-improvement. So now, once I know this, my Yetzer Hara is not going to let that happen. Because a person, if they're davening the way they're supposed to be, is in essence killing their Yetzer Hara. And we already know from Chumash that the Yetzer Hara doesn't just lie down. It says when the younger one is going to dominate, is going to strong up and show its strength, what's the older one going to do? In this case, the old foolish king, he's going to pull from deeper down and try and dominate over the other one. Okay, so now that the person is finally davening properly, those people that are davening just to get from bed to points A, B, or C, the Yetzer Hara doesn't have to bother them because they're not davening anyway. So they don't have any problems with those guys. It goes into hate. They're not davening. They're not getting the effect of what the davening is supposed to affect. So the Yetzer Hara is saying, I'm
happy.
I'm good. I'm fine. You know, you don't need me. You're doing it yourself. But when the person's going to say, you know, I know the Baal Shem Tov says, so now all of a sudden the Yetzer gets scared. Wait a minute, I can't let you do that. Okay? Because in doing so, it's going to get killed. So he says, no, I'm not going to let myself get into harm's way. I'm going to get you to stop davening. And the Yetzer is so crafty that it'll do anything it can to get you to stop davening. But it's not going to tell you, you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm not davening. You know what? I'm just going to go to work. I'm not going to daven. You're not going to do that. Because the Yetzer Hara knows that you're going to say, what, are you out of your mind? Go daven. Of course you have to daven. Okay? It's not the thought. The Yetzer Hara is not going to even bring it up. Because it's not even something that you would even think once about. What's the Yetzer Hara going to do? It'll come up with a something. Okay? Davening starts at 7, so you know what? Your alarm clock goes off, you roll over, you wake up at 5 to 7, it's like, you know, I gotta run to shul, you run to shul, and by the time you get to shul, they're already holding past Baruch Hu, so what do you do?
You rush.
You rush it, or you skip, you gotta go back, and these things, you know, so it talks to Shulchan Aruch, if you get to shul late, there's certain things you could skip and you should say them afterwards, mm-hmm. Okay? The Arizal wrote very strongly against this. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Arizal once saw the Beis Yosef do this himself. He came in late, okay? He davened Bircha Shma Shma Ne'esra, and then went back and davened Pesuki Dezimra. Okay, like it says in the Shulchan Aruch to do. So the Baal Shem, the Arizal said to the Beis Yosef, let me show you what you did. Okay? So I don't know what happened. He closed his eyes, whatever. He says, is the Beis Yosef saw the angels from, because it says when you daven, you create a malach, right. You create an angel. The angel, the psuki, yeah.
It's different, you know, different.
Yeah, yeah.
Worlds.
The psuki, the angels, the psuki de Zimmer, were pushing to try and get ahead. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to go ahead of you guys. Hello? Yeah, but they're saying, but no, he said us first. So it made this whole big mishmash going up in Shemayim. The angels got all confused, they got all mishmash, and it was like, you know, that. So he said, even though the halacha says you could do it, don't do it. I'm sorry, in Lubavitch, we never do it. In Lubavitch, if you get to shul late, you daven in order. You didn't daven with the minion? Okay, no, listen, what could you do? Try better tomorrow. So, but that's what the Yetzer Hara is going to do. The Yetzer Hara is not going to tell you, don't daven. The Yetzer Hara is going to say, oh, it's cold, it's dark, sleep till 5 to 7, davening starts at 7 o'clock, you'll get there 10 after 7, they'll be holding Baruch Hu already, you're going to want to have to catch up already because you still have to leave at the same time.
But you'll make it by Baruch Hu.
Yeah, so...
I know the Yetzer
Hara. Okay, so that's the way it is. It's a hard does it. So why? What did you just happen? So what just happened now is instead of davening... Pesukei de Zimra at just a normally absurd pace. Mm-hmm. Now you're diving at a super abnormally absurd pace. Okay, it's a hard one.
Okay. I have questions for you after this because I. Not now.
Okay. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. That he says that this is the ratzain of all those who fear him, the will of all those who fear Hashem. Which the will now, the desire, which is supposed to be in davening, is supposed to transcend the intellect that Hashem gave him in order that he should know and be able to do all that Hashem commanded him with his knowledge. Okay, so that davening now, since a person davens, there's a benefit in that because of what's the davening is a relationship of your will to Hashem's will. It's an essential connection. So that then has an effect, a very positive, powerful connection on your cognitive self. It will affect your intellect, it will affect your emotions. And indeed, you can talk about it with mitzvahs also, with davening, with doing mitzvahs, with learning. One of the byproduct benefits is that you're able to think clearer. This is... By the way, we talked about this last week. That's why people go to Chachamim to ask them about physical problems. Okay, I'm not a doctor, so why are you asking me a medical question? Because the way you daven and the way you do mitzvahs and the way you learn has given you a clear perspective on life, and you're able to see things a whole lot clearer than I do. And therefore, I'm going to you.
Okay.
So he wants to say, listen... So if you'll daven better, and you'll do mitzvahs better, and you'll learn better, you'll be able to think clearer. And you know what? You won't have the question. And then you won't have to write me. Rak ratzen pashet ruach nediva v'chol ish. But he says it's just a simple rut sign. It's an expression of giving in every single person. Every single person, if you're standing up and you want to daven, so you want to cause Hashem happiness, you want to give a little nachas to the Almighty. Halavai should be that you're davening, my davening should make Hashem happy. Yeah. So, v'alza nemar ki am kashay erev huza salachta. So it says, this is nation is a stubborn people. You should forgive them. So it says, it doesn't make any sense. Moshe is saying to that, to Hashem, after the golden calf, you know why you should forgive these people? Because they're a bunch of arrogant SOBs. Wait a minute. That's a reason to forgive them?
No, they're stubborn, stiff-necked people who will stay with you. Just like they, just as hard to change, they're hard to change.
They're hard to change. Yeah, look, you know, so
they're with.
This is something. This is something. This is a reason to forgive them. And he says, yeah, this is a reason to forgive them. Okay, because they are who they are. Well, who created us the way we are? Well, we can all blame it on Hashem, right? Because the whole idea of pardoning, forgiving, is beyond intellect. Somebody did something wrong. It makes sense that you should never forgive the person because they did something wrong to you. The idea, no, it makes sense. I want nothing to do with this person.
Human
nature. This person could go, you know, drop dead, whatever you want to say to this thing, you know.
That's not the way God wants
us
to be.
No. It says, so therefore, when a person says, you know, it's not that we turn the other cheek. That's not us. We demand restitution. But once everything's all out in the clear and everything's done with already at this point,
it's under the water.
Let it go. Don't think about it anymore. Do you have to be the guy's best friend? No, you don't have to be the guy's best friend. But it's like I tell people, is that person losing sleep because they're thinking about you? And the answer is no. It says in the Gemara that you have to forgive somebody, even one who cuts off your hand. Because what's the forgiveness all about? The forgiveness is not about him. The forgiveness is about you. Because that guy, he sleeps at night because he's not thinking about you. You don't sleep at night because you're thinking about him. So if you let it go, you'll be able to sleep too. Okay, that's the deal there. Okay, that's why it is that Hashem said there should be measure for measure. And so he says, Vidal suffices to those who understand. Okay, so meaning to say that this is all about davening. Okay, you'll put forth the effort, Hashem will put forth the effort, your brain will get bigger, and you won't have any problems. It's all up to davening. This part he's saying, listen, so you have another problem. It says, so this that we're talking about before was davening up until now. It says, but then you have interpersonal relations too. Whenever a person does anything wrong, or not even if it's wrong, if a person does something incorrect, it is going to have a physical effect on them. We see this from Moshe. By the day of the consecration of the Mishkan, Nadav and Avihu died. Aaron burned the community's chatas that Aaron and his children were supposed to eat.
Kema'ola.
Right. Okay. Moshe says, what did you burn it for? You're supposed to eat it. And he got mad at them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Aaron said, we are Oinanim. We are Oinanim. We're not allowed to eat a sacrifice. No one's going to eat the sacrifice. We've got to burn it right away. Okay. How did Aaron know that? Moshe taught it to him. So why didn't Moshe know that?
Mad.
Because he got angry. Okay? The physical getting angry had an effect on his physical body that he forgot a halacha. Okay, so now it's the same deal also. You have to deal with people. We all have to deal with people every single day. Mm-hmm. And how we deal with people is going to have an effect on us. And one of the things that it says is you shouldn't look at the saucity,
the context
of the wicked, the shalva, the satiated. The satiety. I don't think that's the word.
Satiation, I think it is.
I don't think that's the word either. I think it's satiety. Don't look at the satiety of the wicked. You don't say, that guy is such a horrible person. Look how good he's doing in life.
Comfortable. Yeah, comfort.
Yeah. Okay? Don't take that into consideration because you have no idea. Because when a person's going to be doing something wrong, it's going to have a physical effect on them. Mm-hmm. Whether they're aware of it right now, or not. It's going to affect them. Okay? And if it doesn't affect them now, it'll affect them later in the world to come, too. So it says, don't copy them just because he looks like he's having a good time. Because ultimately, he is not. We have no idea what goes on when he closes the door when he gets home. Okay? So it says, interpersonal relations are very important. As he says, I plead with you that everyone be right and walk with integrity, just as Hashem made everybody straight. And not to start trying, it means don't start making all kinds of connections. That's where you have to go. It says, don't try and second guess God. Oh, this is happening because of this. Don't even think about going there. Because you never know. This is happening because of what? It's happening because Hashem wants it to happen that way. And why is it happening that way, that Hashem wants it to happen that way? You may never know. Okay, which also has an idea, is don't drive yourself neurotic. He said before, if it is things happen, says in the Gemara, if a person has having problems, let him go check his deeds and see that he's got averus, and let him do tshuva. And if he doesn't have any averas, so maybe it's because of dvarim bittel teira, he wasted time. And if he doesn't have any dvarim bittel teira, so maybe it's yisurim from ava, afflictions of love. Okay, the Gemara goes the whole thing, it's right at the beginning of Masechta Brachos, the whole thing into what are yisurim of love, and how do you know that they're love, and what's the effect of the love, etc., etc., etc. But, so he says, if a person is doing things wrong, if something is happening to a person, what he says, okay, you can do tshuva. Doing tshuva always is a good thing. It might not be that the reason why this thing is happening to this person is because they did something wrong. It might be for some other reason that only Hashem knows. But if it happens that because this guy went and made a cheshbon hanefesh and looked and said, you know, I really could tighten this up, so good. That's a good thing right there. Okay, and if it is that it doesn't help us alleviate his problem, is he going to say, well, I tried fighting that thing I was doing wrong. I tried to correct it and it didn't work. So you know what? I'm going to go back to doing it. I don't think that's how most people think, unless the guy's an addict. You know, so the reason why I got a DUI is because I was drinking too much. So I'm not going to drink so much anymore. Okay, so he's not going to get a DUI again if he's not drinking. You know, so... But if he's an addict, he's going to think, you know, I won't get a DUI this time. Okay, we're not talking about that. What's going on and why things are going on? That's for Hashem, that's not for us. I may have mentioned this before, there was an Iranian chacham who I believe passed away in the 1930s at over 100 years old. And they'd ask him, so why is it, how is it, what do you attribute your longevity to? You know, anybody lives a long time. They said, so what did you do to stay, basically what it was is I made sure to breathe 20 times a minute. That's basically all they did. You know, whatever happens with everything else, nobody has a clue why they lived so long. So he had a sense of humor. And people would ask him, what do you attribute your longevity to? And he would say, I never asked why God. because I was afraid God would say, oh, you want me to tell you? Come here, I'll tell you. You'll stand on this side of the fence. If you're looking from my side, you'll see why I did this. So he said, I never asked that question because I didn't want God to show me. So he says, don't worry about such things. Why things are happening, he says, I tell people all the time, I can answer pretty much any question you could throw at me except why God. As soon as you put the word why and God in the same sentence, I say, sorry, I can't answer you. And that's okay. So you have davening. Now you have interpersonal relationships. Be nice to people. People be nice to you. This is going to help. And now, so we have also to believe with complete faith in the mitzvahs. It says, you know, what's the expression? Perkei Avos. Come on, brain. That don't look at the cost of a mitzvah versus its reward. All mitzvahs cost. If you want to do it, someone's going to charge you for it. And not only that, someone's going to charge you way too much for it. Okay, that's why an esrog dealer is disqualified from being a witness in a beis din.
I didn't know that.
Yes, because they're recognized as being ganavim. You want to charge me how much for that little piece of fruit? That next week will be worth how much? Okay. So, all mitzvahs cost money. But, person believes, listen, it's the best thing. The fact that I'm going to pay so much for my esrog, I'm very happy to, because what do I have my money for? And it says that a person should be humble before every single person. And Alter Rebbe here adds in the word bichlal, generally speaking, which means everybody. In chapter 30, he used this, quoted the same thing. The Mishnah says, it's in Pirkei Avos in chapter 4. That you should just have your shuffle of a kol adam. That's all it says. It stops right there. Be humble before every man. The Alter Rebbe in 30 adds the word mamish. You should be humble before every man mamish. The mamish going on the man. That means everybody. And here he uses the word bechlal also. Same thing.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, it means it's basically the same thing. Is there a difference between mamash and bechlal? Yeah, because they wouldn't use mamash and tanya if it wasn't, he could have just used bechlal. Would he use right. bechlal?
He's already said mamash, so now he says.
There's a general rule. Your friend compliments you. Not that we're saying your friend says, oh, you're so wonderful today. No, it's not the word compliment over here. Compliment means fills in your shortcoming. We are just throw out. Yeah, I'm saying he's not complimenting. You're such a beautiful person. You know, I love how you do your hair. No.
I can do math. I can. Right.
Compliment means there are things you can do that I can't do. There are things I can do that you can't do. Mm-hmm. Since it is that Yisrael is goof echad gadol, it's one big body. So I need you what you can do and you need what I can do to fill in all the gaps so that we make one cohesive unit. Every single Jew makes up like one big friend. The chest as it is that you have people, you look at a person's body. It's made up of different body parts that are all stuck together. What happens if one of the limbs is separated? Dies. If there's a block, the heart is doing what it's got to do, okay? But if the blood can't get to the body part, then the body part doesn't last too long, okay? So he's going back to this idea with davening again and with relating to interpersonal relationships and with the mitzvahs. He says that's our heart, is those things. And if a person is not going to be doing themselves, essentially they're creating plaque in the arteries, and not allowing a proper flow of chayas. And if a person doesn't have a proper flow of chayas, he's got problems. That's why he's saying, go look and look at these things. Okay? Very often, if we have a problem, instead of going looking out there to solve the problem, he's saying, you should look inside. And since it is that we are all consensually one body, so therefore fixing up the heart is one general thing. As it says, you should serve Hashem with one soldier, just a shoulder. Okay, like one body. We're all pushing the same way. If you have to move a big heavy object, if you have a bunch of people and they're pushing alternatively, you got 10 guys pushing the same thing. First goes guy number one, then goes guy number two, then guy number three, guy number four. It's not going to work so well. You have all 10 guys pushing at the same time. Then it works very well. Alkein ayave yedidai. Therefore, my friends, my beloved. Na v'na l'teich v'chol leiv v'nefesh l'tekeya v'av Yisrael b'libay. Please, l'treyach, excuse me, you should exert effort with your whole heart and soul to firmly implant in your heart's love of your friend. Ish esra Yisrael al tachshuv b'levavachem. Don't think bad about other people. V'lo sa'al aliv l'olam im, and it should never enter your mind ever. And if it does, you suddenly start harboring thoughts about somebody else, bad thoughts, then you should remove them like consider them like smoke, move them away. Like suddenly, what would you do if suddenly you had this idea? What would it be like to go become a Catholic? How long would you think such a thought? Yeah, you just say, nah. What? No. So it's the same thing also with dealing with other people. I said, "Ki gadol lashon hara k'neged avodah zarah gilui arayos shechus damim." You hear something about a person, and now you're harboring thoughts about the person that are not good. So it says in the Gemara, also Gemara Bracha and Brachas, right at the beginning, that a person who listens to lashon hara, it's like idolatry. It's like killing. The Baal Shem Tov says it's like three people get killed. The guy who's you're talking about, the guy who's saying it, and the guy who's listening, it's killing three people. Okay? The guy who made up the Lashon Hara. It's as bad as adultery. I mean, the Imba Dibur Kach Kulub. And if this is the way it is, that with one statement about somebody else, it's considered as though the person violated the three cardinal sins. Could you imagine what happens if a person actually does something wrong? It's already known to every chacham lev. Anybody's got a little brain in their head. Yisran hachshamach shava al hadibor hein l'toyve hein l'motav. That when it comes, what a person should be thinking about when a person knows that the advantage that there is of thought over speech, whether for good, whether for better. V'Hashem heitiv hamavarech es amo bashalom. Hashem will do good for his people, he'll bless them with peace. And when is a person peaceful? Then you have no problems. You have to do yasam aleichem shalom v'chayim. Hashem will give you peace and life. Ad ha'olam forever b'nefesh, ayev nefesh malei v'nefesh. Like a soul that loves another person from the depths of his heart. That's what Hashem will do. That's how Hashem will treat you. And you'll live happily ever after. And don't bother me. And that ends chapter 22. To be continued.